Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Glad to be here with you on a Friday. Big Friday for us here on Sports Daily, of course, because we have college football playoffs in the mix now. For the first time ever, we get to talk about that. We'll have that, an NFL weekend, including NFL football on Saturday, which includes the Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to pick a lot of these games with the full cast coming up in hour number two. So stay tuned for that. Our picks sure to fail. We'll get to Thursday night football last night. We'll look ahead to Shockers K-State coming up tomorrow night as well. All kinds of good stuff to get to today on the show. The IHOP hotline will be open for you to start things off at 869-1240. IHOP, the official breakfast partner of Xbox, come in and try our decadent, fully loaded French toast only at IHOP. We'll give away some HTO later in the show as well. Glad to be here with you. Jad Chambers producing alongside Tommy Kester. I'm Jacob Albrecht. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
You know, I'm good. It's a good day. We've got a huge sports weekend to look forward to and to talk about and get ready for this weekend. And it's my last show of the year, taking some vacation time around the holidays. So, you know, it kind of feels like the last day of school a little bit before summer break. So I'm excited about that today.
We'll try to keep you engaged here for 2 hours. We're not mailing it in. We're not watching movies in class. We're not doing any of that. We've got serious business to attend to here today. First of which is Thursday night football. And I have been, look, I hit a bet finally for the first time in a while. You know, one of my long odd parlay things last night. I got that. And the football gods are smiling down because I now, for 8 days or however long it is, get to really mess with Tommy. Because would you look at that? Guess what door creeps open after last night's Broncos loss to the Chargers? Those pesky, no defense playing Cincinnati Bengals have life. And the discussion that Tommy gets more annoyed at probably than any discussion we've ever had on this show, they have life. And what I don't think we ever put terms on a future wager of Bengals Broncos, but it's right here in front of us. Now, it may not matter. The Bengals could beat the Broncos. The Chiefs could wrap it up and, you know, they could play the Chiefs JV and get a win and still get in. So the chances for the Bengals are still very, very low to actually get in. But man, the fact that they play each other now, and I just love it so much because I know how much it's going to bother Tommy that the Bengals are still alive in this thing.
I just hate that that's what we're leading off with today because, as you just said a second ago, the odds are so slim, they're so small that the Bengals can actually make the playoffs. And I know the only reason that you're bringing it up is because of how upset I get about this talk about the Bengals and their chances
at the playoffs.
The only reason
I brought it up for like the last 4 months.
I mean, do we really think that Cincinnati's going to win out and Kansas City's going to lose out?
No, I don't. No, you mean that Denver's going to lose out? I think Kansas City's going to have it wrapped up. That's the problem for Cincinnati. I do think, like I've thought all along, that Cincinnati is better than Denver and will beat them, but it's too little too late.
Cincinnati also goes on the road at Pittsburgh to wrap up the regular season. Yeah. So, you know, their path is fairly difficult. Now,
it's difficult.
They do get the Browns this weekend and Dorian Thompson-Robinson starting for Cleveland. You know, so I do like their chances in that
game. Cincinnati's so bad on defense. They're so bad on defense, you never know. But I just love so much that these two teams face off because I've never been a full believer in Denver. And look, the Chargers had a great second half last night. I do like the Chargers. And you weren't with us yesterday. I do like the Chargers more than I like Denver. I that game was vindicating a little bit. Denver's going to have some problems here. And we'll see how they can, you know, handle it. They do a lot of things well, though. And I still don't like them being in the postseason. I don't like any team that has a good pass rush right now in the postseason as it pertains to the Chiefs. Like, I would rather face anybody else, but you can do everything else really well. But if you have a pass rush, that still does scare me a little bit. And the Broncos have a good one. And so we'll see what happens with them. Again, very likely to make the playoffs because I do think Kansas City will wrap up home field by then and will have nothing to play for in the final week. But it will be fun for but you won't be here for me to mess with it. We got to come up with these terms. We got to come up with these terms.
I mean,
now.
I will be here though.
Between Bengals Broncos,
I will be here though. Leading into that Week 18 game when they play the Broncos, I mean, in the slim chance that Cincinnati is still alive going into Week 18 when the Chiefs play the Broncos to wrap up the regular season. Then we can have that conversation.
But we have to come up with the terms because we set this in motion like a month ago that you wouldn't shut up about the Bengals. That's the only reason why playing for anything that they'll beat them. So now we have to come up with terms on that. We'll come up with something. It'll probably just be beers, but we'll come up with something that will be. Hey, look, I'm looking for any sort of entertainment, and this has been wildly entertaining for me. So I'm excited about that last night. I joked that I would lead the show with, should the Bengals let the Broncos win so they don't have to play Joe Burrow in the playoffs?
That's terrible. That's the worst. Why would anybody do that?
You're going to see it. I mean, it's going to be on ESPN or wherever.
My head is going to explode if we have that discussion.
The conflict shows. If we get to the point where that is the scenario, I can guarantee you that question will be one of the conflict show headlines. Should Chiefs let Broncos win to keep Burrow out of playoffs? Like, it's coming. You can see it a mile away, and I love how much this annoys Tommy and maybe all of you out there. So I apologize.
It's probably a good thing that today is my last show of the year because I don't think I can handle.
Next week would have been insufferable.
I don't think I could handle that conversation. Right. You know, had that happen.
That's right. It's one of those things like where you know how it is. Like, you spend a lot of time with somebody and you know the things that really bother them. This is why siblings can get on each other's or husbands and wives. Quite frankly, when you spend a lot of time with somebody and you know what's really going to annoy them, you have to go back to that well probably as often as you can. That's why, like, the world's greatest fist fights involve brothers, right? Like, that's why video game fights are like the worst fights. The most violent, like, non-actual fights are video, because you just know what you can do or say to really bug the other person. You can, if it's bugging you, you can leave us your comments on our video streams. By the way, Facebook, YouTube, and X, those are all available for you. You can also watch, of course, on 12 News Connected and leave us your voice messages on the Odyssey app. I've had a few of those the last couple of days. Appreciate that. And the good thing about those, Jad tells us that if you're downloading the show and listening to it later, you can still leave us a message and we can then get to it the next day. So that's all available for you. The IHOP hotline is there. More seriously on the game last night, just because it happened last night, the Chargers put themselves in pretty good position. As we look at Jim Harbaugh's year one, as the Chargers almost certainly now will make the postseason, it's so funny that every year you go into a year with the Chargers and they're overhyped, right? This year they're not. Harbaugh gets in and they actually can deliver. What a perfect fit, I think, for him, for that team, like all involved, for the Chargers to get that right with Herbert. And I do think it, like, when we see these openings across the NFL, like, can we please just get Caleb Williams a competent coach? You know, some of these young quarterbacks, we see it all. Look at what Sam Darnold's doing this year, right? Like, sometimes you just get the right situation in there, and these guys, the margin for being successful is so slim. It has been very interesting to see the Chargers finally deliver when they didn't have any expectations coming into the year.
You know what I love about what the Chargers have been able to do this year is that their pass catchers were unknowns going into this year. I mean, even Ladd McConkey, you know, is a highly heralded rookie, but he didn't know exactly how that would translate to the NFL. And, you know, you go down that stat line from last night, and you've got McConkey, and you've got Hassan Haskins, who had a touchdown pass. Stone Smart has gotten involved in the passing game over the last few weeks, especially when the Chargers played Kansas City last. Darius Davis had a touchdown as well. And, you know, you go back to the years of Keenan Allen and, you know, Mike Williams and, you know, some of these other guys that had been, you know, the receivers forever for the Chargers. And it wasn't getting done at the level that I think expectations were for the Chargers. And now you've got really a bunch of guys that nobody has ever heard of catching the football, and they're doing a great job at it. And you've got sprinkled in there guys like Joshua Palmer, who had been there before. Quentin Johnston is kind of in and out, like, you know, right. So that's all well and good, but they've really rebuilt the pass catching on that team.
Well, I think too,
and that was like, a big unknown, I think, for Justin Herbert. Like, who's he going to throw the ball to?
It was. That's why he was like, he was going low in fantasy drafts, all those things. But it tells you what good coaching can do, because, yeah, look, Quentin Johnston was first round pick. Ladd McConkey was basically a first round pick. He was like the second pick of the second round. So they've invested in the position, but we didn't know. They lost Keenan Allen. They lost Mike Williams. Those guys had been there forever and were a part of why Justin Herbert was one of the more highly touted rookies we've ever seen. But here, like, they built their offense around the run game to begin the year with J.K. Dobbins. They can't run the ball that well anymore. Like, they're not running it at a very effective clip. They had, in totality, because of some Justin Herbert runs last night, a decent game rushing the ball, but they've within the season, like within the last month, they've had to redefine what they are. I mean, that's the other crazy part about it. And Herbert's been so efficient that he's still, you know, only on 30 pass attempts able to throw for almost 300 yards, but like, it's wild to see what they've been able to do. And I just like, and maybe I'm the only one, but when I see that, here's what I want in the NFL always. I want great quarterback play. Like, I want the good quarterbacks to be really good. I think it makes the league so much better. And so when Herbert is just constantly shadowed by these just brutal coaches, that drives me crazy. You get a competent, and that's what I hope doesn't happen to a guy like Caleb Williams. Look at Sam Darnold, finally gets in with a competent coach, a coach that knows quarterbacks, and boom, like, he's, you know, he's probably top 10 MVP candidate this year. So it's interesting to see all that. But the Chargers are there with it, and they are able to get that done. Let's get to the IHOP hotline real quick before we take our first break. Anthony on the line wants to chime in. Hey, Anthony, what's up? Welcome into Sports Daily.
Man, I just want to say, first of all, I'm glad that you can take the time to listen to me. That makes me feel appreciative and motivated to keep doing what I do, either the podcast or the video. So I thank you for your feedback. Looking at that game last night, though, and it was basically a tale of two halves. I mean, Broncos owned the first half. And I actually kind of watched it just to look at Bo Nix, because the previous game, we knew he threw three picks. There's no way a team throws three picks and still wins the game. Denver found a way to win the game. I'm looking at Bo Nix in that first half. I'm like, okay, I like with this old kid, because he's one of those veterans coming out of college,
right?
A little bit more mature. And I like some of the stuff he was doing, like the dump off passes. I mean, his long reads weren't there, so he's utilizing the running backs out of the backfield. I'm like, okay, that's why come they like his maturity, because he knows how to do the check down. But then we see the second half, that vaunted Denver defense that was supposed to be so tough. Well, they not only did they bend, they got broke, and the Chargers broke their will. And it goes back to what Harbaugh said about Justin Herbert. He said, you know what, I want him to be my quarterback for as long as I'm here, because that guy is as tough as they come. So we seen the toughness, we seen the grit, and they actually look good in them powder blues last night. But I wish the Chargers would go back to the dark blue jersey, the LaDainian Tomlinson look. So I just want to say, I watched the game last night, and it made me pay attention to what, you know, the Bo Nix deal. So I think they're in good hands in Denver. And as far as the Bengals is concerned, getting into the playoffs, I just want to give you this scenario, and I'm getting off the phone. Everybody talks about Lamar Jackson. Everybody talks about what's the guy's quarterback for Buffalo?
Josh Allen.
And there's some good quarterbacks. And yes, Josh Allen has beaten Patrick Mahomes, but he hasn't beaten him when it counts the most. There's only two quarterbacks that have beaten Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. One would be Tom Brady, and he's no longer active, and he's also beat him in the Super Bowl, and he's no longer active. And the only other quarterback that's done it, that's active, that have beaten him in the playoffs, is Joe Burrow. Not saying that if the Bengals get in there, that he can do it, but take that into consideration. And as a Chiefs fan, I'm not a Chiefs fan, but the Chiefs fans who are maybe listening or on the radio, if the Chiefs make it to the Super Bowl, because I don't think the defenses can hold up. Buffalo's defense show, they're very vulnerable. If the Chiefs make it to the Super Bowl, which poison would you pick? Detroit Lions or the Philadelphia Eagles? On that note, I'm out here. You guys have a fantastic Friday.
Anthony, thank you. Right now, I'd pick the Lions, of who I'd rather play because they're so banged up. The Lions have just an absurd amount of injuries. So that's a quick answer to that one for me. On Burrow, I don't think we have fun with the Bengals all the time this year. Burrow is a superstar. Like he to me is. I'd be Allen, Mahomes, and Burrow for me, and then Lamar Jackson is right with them. But Burrow's a superstar. He's incredible. And that's a good point. He is the only quarterback outside of Brady to beat Mahomes in the playoffs. And so, yeah, but their defense is just a disaster this year. So it doesn't really matter. I don't think I would not want to play them in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to get there, though. Bo Nix is interesting. I think that's the other thing Anthony was asking about there. Bo Nix is way better than I thought he would be. Like, way better. And it's not that I thought he would be bad necessarily, but he's just much better than I thought he would be. Like, the things that he's doing are things you would expect a quarterback to do much later in their career, and his age helps. But, yeah, he's not afraid to take risks. He's not afraid to check it down. He's not afraid to take off and run. And his accuracy is where we thought it would be, which was the strength of his game. He's been really good. Like, I got to give him credit. He wasn't the guy jumping off the screen to me that I thought would come in and be a great NFL quarterback, but he looks like he's going to be a good NFL quarterback.
It's going to be really interesting because whenever I think of Bo Nix, in my head, I automatically compare him to Michael Penix Jr. just because, you know, they played just basically down the road from each other in Washington and Oregon the Pac-12. And I loved watching those guys battle each other and all of that over the years. Well, now that Michael Penix is getting a chance to start the remainder of the Falcons games for the rest of this season, when I think of Bo Nix, like I said, I think of Michael Penix Jr. And I'm interested to see how Penix does compared to the way that Bo Nix has played this year for the Broncos.
And that's going to be interesting because Bo Nix did not come screaming out of the gates well, right? Like he didn't throw a touchdown pass until his fourth game. He had four interceptions in his first three. So it's not like he came out and was all of a sudden really good. He hit his stride. I'm just looking here. He hit his stride in late October. And then it clicked. You could just see it click for him. And he's been really good basically from October on. He's been a really good quarterback. But it took him a month to get there. So, yeah, I'm intrigued by Penix, too, but I don't think we should expect Penix to just, come screaming out of the gates. It may be, the last game or two of the season where or even into next year. But the Falcons are doing the right thing here because if he's going to be good, the time he'll spend now being the starter is going to be invaluable for him next year. And maybe this year. I don't know. I just don't want to put too much expectation on him. Because he's not going to have that runway rookies get. Like, he's got to be good right away for them to make the playoffs, and that's a lot of expectations.
He's gotten the opportunity, though, to sit and watch and learn without the pressure of starting up to this season, so we'll see that kind of path and what that does for him. I love it because it's not like the Falcons are dead in the water. They can still make the playoffs.
I know.
And they need Penix to do it. In the final three games, I can't wait to watch the way that plays out.
Yeah, plenty of weapons, too. It's not like they don't have things for him to work with. They got a good receiving core. They got one of the best running backs in football. Like, the pieces are there for him to be successful. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get the latest on the Chiefs. We get as much of a guarantee from Andy Reid as you can get that Mahomes will play. Also, the Hollywood Brown news. What does that do for us? We're, of course, going to pick that game as well. But we'll begin to preview that one, break it down. What do we need to see? What do we expect to see? That'll be on the other side of this break. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here at KFH and all the Odyssey studios. We got more Sports Daily coming your way right after this. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We're glad to be with you here on the show. Want to say thanks to Crestview Country Club for their support of the show. All kinds of fun events coming up. You've got a big New Year's event. They've got stuff set up for the kids. I know Tommy was at the Santa brunch the other day. We were at a member appreciation. We swung by there the other night. All kinds of fun things happening, even when the weather is cold. So give Crestview a call. Ask them about all their different kinds of memberships. They've got different levels for different needs. Tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. We appreciate their support of the show. Tommy, are we overlooking the Texans here? I think I am. And I think probably a lot of people are. All of this week, we've really just kind of focused on Patrick Mahomes and almost like operated under the assumption that, yeah, if Mahomes plays, all right, the Chiefs are going to win and then they'll go on. The Chiefs still have to beat the Texans, right? And they're not heavy favorites in this game. Yeah, they beat the Browns by a bigger margin, but it was the Browns. And let's not forget how many close games this team plays. I don't think by any means that the Chiefs are overlooking the Texans, but I think if we're being honest with ourselves, at least for me and I think a lot of others, I certainly have been. I haven't even really thought about the Texans this week. I've just thought about whether or not Mahomes is going to play.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that hasn't really been talked about a whole lot leading into this game is just overall Houston's defense is really good. I mean, they have taken the ball away a lot from teams this season. They've got the second most takeaways of any team in the NFL, 28 takeaaways. And that's really that's only behind Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh leads the NFL in takeaways. Houston is number two. So that's the first thing to keep in mind. But then also they get to the quarterback. We've talked all season long about some of these big time edge rushers that the Chiefs have faced off against, most recently Myles Garrett, and you talk about the Bosas and Max Crosby and all of these other guys that the Chiefs have really struggled against in blocking and protecting Patrick Mahomes against. The Texans have two guys that really kind of fly under the radar, and Daniel Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. Those two guys get to the quarterback also. Hunter's got 12 sacks and Anderson's got 10.5. They get to the quarterback, and that's been a huge, as we know, Achilles heel for Kansas City this season.
Look, the Texans right now, and Daniel Hunter's one of the better pass rushers in football for a while, are second in the league in sacks behind only the Broncos.
Yep.
So they get after the quarterback.
And they remind me of the Broncos in the way that they do get after the quarterback because it's not one guy. It's not one premier edge rusher that you can just like lock down on. Like a lot of these other teams have the big guy, the one guy that you got to stop. They've got two in Hunter and Anderson.
So you know that, and it's not just that either because the Texans are, top third pretty much in the league in stopping the run as well. So they're just good defensively, right? They're just a good defensive team. So are the Chiefs. And I know D'Amico Ryans has said this week, like, a lot of the attention's on Mahomes, but the Chiefs have a really good defense too. And so if the Chiefs can grow from last week and put pressure on the quarterback also, the reason I like the Chiefs in this game, not to give picks away, is because I think the Texans are at their best when their offense runs through Joe Mixon. And Joe Mixon's been nicked up. I know he's been limited in practice. I assume he'll play. But he this year has been the straw that has stirred their drink, not C.J. Stroud like maybe we thought. And I do like the Chiefs' chances against any team that really relies on the run. So that's why I like the Chiefs. But I think the Texans are going to give them fits defensively. I think you definitely look, nothing changes. If you're the Chiefs, you must try to establish the run. You have to against a team that rushes the passer that way, especially when it's a team that defensively all around is pretty good. They're good against pass. They're good against the run. So if you're the Chiefs, I think the game plan would click and you have Mahomes on whatever percentage of an ankle he's got. You have to run the ball in this game. and you have to stop their run first and foremost. The Chiefs almost always do that. I know they gave up one big run last week, but the Browns' run game was almost non-existent other than that. I think it's a good formula for the Chiefs to win. They did run it 26 times with the running backs last week. That's back into the area I think they need to live, and I think they will. And so that's why I like them in the game. But this is a big-time game. I mean, this can be tough.
Yeah, and going back, by the way, going back to the big play, the big run play from Jerome Ford a week ago that the Browns executed against the Chiefs, my opinion, I just think that they caught the Chiefs napping a little bit defensively. That was a run play that was telegraphed from the moment that Jerome Ford touched the football. And Jerome Ford is not a great running back. Let's just be real about it.
He's fine.
He's okay. He's not great. I could tell as soon as they gave him the ball, I'm like, man, there are some big-time openings here. And the Chiefs' defense, they've not been able to close those gaps.
Were they in prevent defense?
Yeah.
Right?
Like, oh, man, like this is going to break off, and it's going to be kind of embarrassing for the Chiefs' defense. And that's what happened. But you know, as long as you don't get caught napping against the Texans in that regard, I do think that that's going to benefit Kansas City defensively in this game. The other thing, too, is that C.J. Stroud, we've talked a lot about how Patrick Mahomes has been hit a lot and rushed and all of that this season. C.J. Stroud has as well. He hasn't gotten the best protection so far this season. He's been sacked 45 times. That's the second most in the NFL behind only Caleb Williams. And so I think that there's an opportunity there for the Chiefs pass rush to show up in a large way and build off of what they were able to do a week ago. Because I felt like last week was really the first time that we've seen in a while the Chiefs pass rush be able to be effective. And so if they can carry that on to this weekend against Houston, that's going to help them quite a bit as well. You know, Stroud hasn't been able to have many clean games or clean opportunities this season. And if the Chiefs defensively can keep that going, I think that's going to benefit them too.
Yeah, and you know, the Texans, they defend the pass well. They defend receivers well. It's a fascinating matchup. What is the over-unders at 42? Mm-hmm. That feels right. Yeah. I don't think I see this as some offense. And again, like, we got to be careful because, Mahomes is playing. Oh, and he's got Hollywood Brown. Right. And like, oh, there's full cast of characters and all their weapons are back. And it's like, but let's hang tight.
Well,
just
and
a little
you know, isn't
here.
Joe Tooney probably going to play left tackle this week? I mean, I would imagine that's the way it's going to be because Humphreys is out, and they're not going to throw out, you know, Wanya Morris or Sua Mataia in there. But how about this stat, by the way? This is wild to me. When C.J. Stroud has been sacked 3 times or less in a game, the Texans are a perfect 7-0. When Stroud is sacked 4 times or more, the Texans are 2-5. So clearly, like, that's been huge. If you can get to Stroud multiple times a game, and the Chiefs defense is coming off of a 5-sack outing last week against Cleveland. So they can do that. They can continue that. But man, if I'm Chris Jones, if I'm George Karloftis, if I'm Tershawn Wharton, if I'm a Minnehue, if I'm these guys and I read that stat on the Texans, it's like, man, we've got to get to Stroud because that's a key factor in whether or not the Texans win their games.
Yeah, they need to rush the passer no matter who they're playing because I think it could be one of the biggest difference makers in their chances at a Super Bowl. If they rush the passer like they did against Cleveland, the Chiefs will win a Super Bowl. Can they? I'm not sure. And they, by the way, I think they can even if they don't. So let me clarify that a little bit. I think they can win a Super Bowl if they don't rush the passer at a high clip. I think if they rush the passer at a high clip, they will win the Super Bowl.
And I think that's, you know, at least with C.J. Stroud, that's overlooked in his sophomore season because the narrative for a long time this year has been, well, there's a sophomore slump for C.J. Stroud and he's not playing as well as he did in year one. Well, I think defenses are figuring out that if you can bring the house against him, then that does affect him. And he's under constant pressure this year. It's not unlike what we've seen with Mahomes this year. It's just that Mahomes has been in the league long enough and he's skilled enough to be able, for the most part, to still be successful when he's under that constant pressure. There's a reason why Caleb Williams and C.J. Stroud have not had great years. They're under constant pressure and they've not been able to perform while under that pressure.
Yeah, the Texans may be, for all of the hype that they had at the beginning of the year, and it was a lot, right? they may be the least hyped good team, the least talked about good team that we have now. That is, think about it.
As soon as they lost Steph Diggs, it was kind of like, well, there go the Texans.
They didn't have Steph Diggs a year ago when everybody loved them, right? Like, we all saw what they did last. They didn't have Steph Diggs last year. And other than Steph Diggs, and they've added Joe Mixon, they got better at running back. So, and I don't, and look, I'm not like scolding anybody. I've done the same thing. I don't think of them as highly as I did to begin the year, but it's not, I don't even know why it is. It's because Stroud's not just carving apart the league like he was.
And I know are knowing how to play him. He's under pressure. Right.
Yeah, he's under pressure. And that, look, that clearly makes a difference. Look at Burrow, look at Mahomes, look at all these quarterbacks that are under siege that way.
And the difference is Mahomes and Burrow, for the most part, know how to beat that pressure.
They're used to it, right? It's, you know, like, especially Burrow, more so this year than Mahomes, but it took Mahomes. I mean, it took, we were a while before Mahomes finally hit a groove. Like, he came out of the gates not handling it well, and now he's fine. And Stroud will probably get there. It's funny to me that this team that was the trendiest pick to be the real threat to the Chiefs, when you were talking about basically the non-Ravens pick was the Texans. And here they are. They're 9-5. They're going to make the postseason. And I don't think there's anybody on the planet that gives them a chance. They're one of the best pass rushing teams in football, which we know historically is a critical component to teams making deep runs in the postseason. They have Nico Collins back. Tank Dell's healthy. Joe Mixon has been one of the better backs in football this year. We're not giving them a chance in the world. And we're probably shame on all of us for
and
doing that.
Look, like we mentioned their names before. When you've got Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. that are anchoring your pass rush, and they can get to the opposing quarterbacks, you know, like I mentioned it a few minutes ago, they're second in the league in takeaways. They're second in the league in sacks. D'Amico Ryans is a defensive head coach, and he's clearly leaned into that sort of thing. And, you know, for as much of a sophomore slump, if you want to call it, that C.J. Stroud has had this year, it's been the opposite for Will Anderson Jr. in his second year in the NFL. He has absolutely, found his groove in getting to the quarterback. I mean, 10.5 sacks in his second year in the league is huge. And those guys don't get talked about at the same level as some of the other premier pass rushers in the NFL. I think, for me, that's the biggest concerning thing going into this particular game. And then let's just say that the Chiefs match up against the Texans again in the playoffs at some point. That would concern me about a playoff matchup is that these guys can get to the quarterback at the same rate that C.J. Stroud is under pressure. On the flip side, their defense can get the other quarterback under pressure a ton.
It's going to be a good game.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm
it's
excited
gonna be a good
about
game.
It.
Hopefully Netflix can, you know, allow us to watch it and it goes better than the Tyson fight.
Well, it's not a Netflix game. The Netflix game is on Christmas Day. That's the Steelers game.
This is just a regular NBC game. Yep. That's right. Man, I've had that off all week. I was been dreading this Netflix experiment all week. Yeah, that's right. Hopefully they get it right on NBC. They will. It'll be a fun game. I know there was a lot of, just real quick before we take a break, there was a lot of talk and annoyance in the janky schedule, but we get two awesome games on Saturday. And I would just say, like, why not? Now, I do think it's interesting that it collides with the college football playoff. And this is why this is going to suck, because what you're going to see, mark my words, college football playoff, nobody cares. Nobody's watching. Ratings are down. It's because it's going up against two NFL games, right? Like, you've got two NFL games and you got all these college games. Well, what do you think more people are going to watch? So I don't like that part of it. Like, I wish we would have waited a week for that. I wish that part's going to suck a little bit, because you know it's coming.
Sure.
You know it's coming.
Yeah.
People are just waiting to say, oh, it's too many teams. Like, nobody's watching. Nobody cares. No, it's just because we care way more about the NFL, which has always been the case since the beginning of time.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, for the most part, college football and the NFL do a pretty decent job of staying out of each other's backyard for the most part, this weekend is not one of those weekends. I mean, they're both going to be competing against each other. But you know what? At the same time, you would have bowl games in general. There still are going to be bowl games. You have bowl games in general that will go up against NFL games. And, you know, so it is what it is. It's part of the world in which we live in right now. What I find really interesting is that you talk about this schedule, and for the Chiefs especially, 3 games in 10 days. If they can wrap up home field advantage on Christmas Day, I mean, let's just say that there's a world in which they do that and they rest their starters against the Broncos in week 18. You could be talking about almost a full month of rest for the Chiefs. Like, they play on Christmas Day, and then the divisional round is not until January 18th. You know, so you've got almost a full month, potentially, if they decide to rest starters in that week 18 game against the Broncos. That would be, I think that'd be big, you know, to be able to get fully healthy, give Mahomes an even bigger opportunity to get that ankle good to go for a playoff run. It'll be really fascinating to see how that all pans out.
We're going to pick those college games and those pro games, both of them. Both the Saturday games are in our picks. We'll do that when we come back. When we return, though, some news this morning that came down for the Shockers. Kevin Saul got an extension nobody knew about. At least I didn't know about it. Happened this summer. Taylor Eldridge of the Eagle getting that out there today. That's ahead of a big Wichita State K-State basketball game this weekend. We'll talk a little about that game when we return. We'll come back in hour number two. We're going to make some picks. Looking forward to that. All there for you. If you want to win some HTO on the way out, all you got to do is text the keyword T right now to the short code 20357. You can enter the contest right now, one time per day. Message and data rates apply. This will be good for a free iced tea, a free iced or hot coffee at either Wichita HTO location or in Derby. Good luck, everybody. We're coming right back. All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Tommy, looking sharp today.
Thank you.
Why is that?
Hey, yeah, we've got our brand new segment, Friday Fit, here on the show. That's presented by our friends at 3570 Golf Co., which is a local Wichita, Kansas, Midwest golf apparel brand. And I am wearing one of their brand new designs of their golf polos. It's called the Amber Waves, really small little stalks of wheat on it. And the best part about it is that these clothes are so comfortable. This is the second time that I've worn this golf polo, and you know, you run it through the washer and the dryer and all of that. I hate when the collars get crinkly. You know, I hate all of that, but that's not the way that these shirts operate. They, you know, they put great work into making sure that the quality is top of the level, top of the line. But then on top of that too, the designs are, you know, just amazing for this part of the country. It makes you think of living in, you know, this area in Kansas and the heartland, all of that. So I've loved partnering with them so far. And I would love for you to check out their great apparel as well. All you have to do is go to 35x70golfco.com. Check out all their designs of their shirts, their outerwear, their hats, all of everything that they've got, and use the promo code Tommy, that's T-O-M-M-Y, to get 10% off your order. So that's 35x70golfco.com. Use the promo code Tommy.
All right. Looking good. Loving it.
Thank you.
Hoping you guys will check that out. A little jealous, but that's okay. I'll just use the promo code Tommy, I guess.
Hey, you can get 10% off your order right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, there it is. There it is. 10%. We appreciate their support of the program, like everybody else's. All right. Rick says KC had a week 6 bye and all other teams had a week 12. I guess referencing to the amount of rest teams have. Not sure, but yeah, I mean, that's a factor for postseason chances, but the in an ideal world, they'll either get the bye because they don't need to play in the last week of the season or get the bye because they have home field advantage. I think both scenarios are very much on the table for them, whether they have to, you know, whether they lose a game and then need to play through the final week of the season and open the door for the Cincinnati Bengals, Tommy. Oh, I get what Rick's saying. Okay, Rick clarified. He's talking about how the Chiefs have to play the short week and play. Yeah, that's I'm not saying don't be annoyed that the Chiefs have that scheduling quirk. That comes with being the most popular team in the NFL right now. I'm just saying, like, I like that we have Saturday games this time of year, and I don't mind having a game on Christmas and those things. That's all I'm saying. All right, coming up in the next hour, we will make our football picks. We'll also get into K-State, Wichita State. We just real quick saw the news this morning. The Eagle had it. I was not aware of this. Apparently, Kevin Saul got a contract extension in June that Wichita State didn't put out there. Listen, anybody that listens to this show understands my frustration with the communications that go on at Wichita State. I don't make any bones about how I think they're not very good at it. That's not the athletic department. That's the university as a whole. But, you know, so that news is out there. Just FYI for everybody, that extension happened. But we'll get into that when we start talking about Shockers and K-State. But the news is out there now, Tommy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that really for me, you know, you even set aside performance either on the field, on the court, you know, whatever sport we're talking about. Set that aside. I think from an NIL perspective and the way that, you know, Wichita State under Kevin Saul has really focused on trying to get the Shockers to the place where they need to be financially to compete in the NIL world, I think that's a huge reason why this extension is in place, because Wichita State trusts Kevin Saul to be the leader to shepherd them into that new world. And that's a huge reason why I think that's there. That's apart and aside from anything performance-based in any of the sports on campus. It's NIL. It's getting the Shockers into a place where they need to be in this new landscape of college athletics.
Fundraising has never been more. It's always been one of the most important pieces for an athletic. It's never been more important. And they've got a long road to go, long mountain to climb, but a lot of facilities updates. And yeah, they got to win the games. By the way, baseball, speaking of, picked second in the American. I don't think we've mentioned that, but good for them. I think everyone's optimistic about Wichita State baseball this year. We're going to come back. We're going to make some football picks on the other side. Don't go away. It's Albrock and Caster. It's Sports Daily on a Friday.
Fan Headquarters, 97.5 and 1240 KFH Wichita, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, and Odyssey Sports.